You're listening to The Totally Mental Show for May 10th? Hello, it is May 10th. I looked it up, I think. Tonight is May 10th. Tomorrow, when I release this, will be May 11th, 2015. My name is Zach Erickson, and this is The Totally Mental Show, the podcast dedicated to mental health and being awesome. How's that for a tagline? You got suggestions for a tagline? You send them my way. At Zach Erickson on Twitter. So it's been another week, and I'm going to be honest. Today's Mother's Day, and I'm kind of coming into this episode knowing that I said I was going to do this weekly, and I have a general sort of idea of what this episode is going to be. However, having said that, I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants a little bit on this. It's a topic that I talk about all the time, and I've kind of got, you know, a couple of resources that I can pull from as I talk here. But for the most part, I'm just going to be talking, and we'll see how that goes. Again, as this is kind of just me, I'm going to turn this music down and hope that I'm sounding okay. Do I sound okay? Do I sound all right to you, fine listener? I'm just going to talk and see how that goes tonight. I've been enjoying doing this so far, but like I said before, doing this show is a lot different. It's pretty different from doing in most of the other shows that I do. I want it to have the same tone, I guess, as the old shows that or the other shows that I've done before, as far as being laid back and fun and, you know, just open and honest about life. However, I'm going to fade that music out. Let's get rid of that nonsense. Cool. Not that I don't love my music, but we'll get into that topic a little bit. ADHD is what we're going to talk about. Now, for those of you who are not aware of what ADHD is, that's Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. Why is this a topic we're going to be talking about tonight? Well, friends, let me tell you a little secret about Zach Erickson. If you haven't listened to the other two episodes, it may come as a surprise to you that I have ADHD. Yes, me personally, ADHD is, again, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I'm feeling like I need to slow down right now, by the way. I don't know why I'm talking so fast tonight. I'm going to slow it down just for you. So basically, the reason I want to talk about this is because it's kind of my point of reference for mental illness, if that makes sense. And basically what I have in front of me is two things. I have a blog post that I wrote on May 21st, 2013, titled My Life with ADHD. And I read over it, and it's kind of rambling, but I think there's also some good points in here that I want to bring up. And there will be a link to that in the show notes. There is also the Wikipedia link for ADHD, which all of, you know, my high school / early university teachers and professors are, you know, rolling over in their graves, even though I'm really not that old. Like, university was like, you know, beginning of university. Oh my gosh, that was 2007 that I started university. Maybe that was a while ago. Anyway, so basically what I want to do is, one of the things with mental illness in general that is really difficult is that I don't even want to say it's difficult, because for those of you who don't know me, I kind of have this sort of philosophy about life that very few things are actually worth worrying about. And for somebody who I suspect, at least, and we're going to talk about this a little bit too, is that there are some what they call comorbid disorders with ADHD, one of the main ones being anxiety disorder. And I kind of see within myself some kind of mild anxiety that goes on in my own life. I don't really talk about it much, mostly because it's never really affected me to the point where it has caused any major real, I guess you would say, what's the word, like any sort of like crazy traumatic event or anything, like a panic attack or something like that. I personally have never had a panic attack. However, I do kind of have this sort of, we'll get into it here, but this idea of like a worry or persistent feeling of anxiety, irritability, inability to relax, things like that, that they are kind of related to ADHD, but they're also related to other things. So anyway, that's neither here nor there, but where did that accent come from? So basically, the thing about mental illness is that not very many people understand it, and therefore it becomes something that is different or weird, right? So whether you have anxiety disorder or depression or bipolar disorder or ADHD, all of these things they're weird to people who have not experienced them firsthand. And it makes it difficult to talk about. It makes it difficult for people to understand, and it makes it difficult for people to be able to relate, right? To know how to help. And honestly, with mental illness, one of the biggest things that you need to do to help anybody with mental illness is to just be a good friend, listen, be encouraging without being, attaching any sort of value to it, all of those sorts of things. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit. But what I want to do is just kind of give my own personal experience with ADHD. And I want to say right away that I understand that everybody with ADHD and anybody with any real sense of a mental illness kind of experiences it in their own way, right? Or any sort of a disability in general, because we are completely different people, we're all individuals. And therefore, because we're individuals, we experience the world in a different way, and we experience our disabilities in a different way. And I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm lucky as far as how my ADHD impacts my ability to function. I'm fairly lucky, I would say. And as far as being able to succeed in life, in spite of my ADHD, I'm trying to think of the best way to get through this. Maybe the first thing that I'll do is I will give to you the basic sort of description of what ADHD is as per the, sure, why not? Let's just go straight up the Wikipedia page here. Because I feel like it gives a pretty good definition right away. It says attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, similar to hyperkinetic disorder, is a developmental neuropsychiatric disorder in which there are significant problems with executive functions. They say as an example, attentional control and inhibitory control that cause attention deficits, hyperactivity or impulsiveness, which is not appropriate for a person's age. So in other words, what that's saying is that, let's break it down, okay? So it's a developmental neuropsychiatric disorder. In other words, it is a brain disorder. I don't really know how to break that down for you. In which there are significant problems with executive functions. So in other words, executive functions, if you kind of think of, and for people who don't have ADHD and don't have executive function problems, everybody kind of has in their brain what you can kind of imagine is like your personal assistant or your secretary. And as things come into your brain, they're dumped on the desk of this secretary. And that secretary is responsible for, okay, well, let's go here. This particular piece of information is going to go here. This is going to go, we're going to deal with this right now. This can wait till later. And, basically it deals with things like your working memory or your ability to keep something within your mind while you're thinking about it. If you've ever lost your train of thought, for example, that is an example of your executive functioning, kind of a hiccup in your executive functioning, I guess you could say. So that's one part of it there. So there are significant problems with executive functioning. For example, attentional control. This is another thing that's important there. Attentional control being your ability to control your attention, right? So your ability to, while you are reading something, for example, for you to be able to continue to read, and for your ability to control your attention to stay on that reading and that you do not become distracted, right? That something that you're able to control, whether or not something pulls your attention away from something, from a task, whatever you're doing, right? The next thing would be inhibitory control, which is similar but different. Inhibitory control being you want to do something, but you, not even necessarily that you want to, but there's some sort of an impulse to do something. However, you do not, you know, this in lack of inhibitory control being, you know, you literally cannot hold yourself back from doing something. So, for example, for me, I know that I personally, if I am, you know, if I have not taken my medication for ADHD, which I take on a daily basis, most of the time, if I don't take my medication, I am much more prone to running my mouth. And what I mean when I say that and is that there are a lot of times when you think, I really should not say this. And then you successfully do not say it. There are a lot of times where I, you know, being a sort of, you know, if a sort of fun loving person, but also somebody who can be sarcastic and, you know, sometimes controversial, even I would say it's difficult for me sometimes to not say something that I think that I just think up, right? If I come up with something on the top of my head, I think, oh, I should say that. And then later, especially, by the way, in a marriage, that's something that is really difficult. So, you know, to say something and think, oh, why did you say that? That was so dumb, right? Especially, it, you know, just to be totally frank, that is something that can be quite a challenge for me sometimes, is to say something and then afterwards think, wow, that was really insensitive, or that was really stupid for you to say that, or that's not even what you meant. Why didn't you stop and think about it and then say something that was maybe a little bit more diplomatic or just plain decent, right? I don't know. So those are the things there. So that's kind of an idea of what executive functions are. So these particular problems with executive functioning cause, again, we're going back to this sentence here, that cause attention deficits. So again, having difficulty shifting your attention from one thing to another. What's interesting about that, by the way, is that you can have either, you know, most people think about the attention deficit part, the part where you literally cannot pay attention to something for the life of you. A lot of people think about that, but what a lot of people do not realize is that there is the flip side of that, which is hyperfocus. So, and you know, once I point this out to people, they're like, oh yeah, no, that's also totally true. Which is that, for example, a child with ADHD may have a terrible time paying attention in class at all. However, will then go home and play Minecraft for 5 hours without blinking. Right. Or will, for me, I would sit and draw in school. And I did this for a number of reasons, but I could sit there and draw for hours, and then, you know, when we'd have to sit down and read a book, 5 minutes in, I'm so bored, you've never even, you know, I could die. So, anyway, so that results in hyperactivity, impulsiveness, and of course the inability or the inattention that we mentioned earlier. Let me just jump over to my article that I read or that I wrote. Again, this was a couple of years ago, and it's a little all over the place. I was still trying to find my voice, and frankly, I'm still trying to find my voice as far as podcasting and blogging and stuff like that, which is why your feedback is so important, and your feedback and just input. You know, if you have any questions or topics you'd like me to discuss, by all means, please give me a little bit of feedback there, and I've been getting a little bit already, and I really appreciate it, so thank you. Going to my article, though, basically what I said was, I'll give you a quick rundown of what my symptoms are like on a bad day, and I think it's important for people to know what it's like on a bad day so that you can appreciate why this may be so difficult. So the first one is fidgety and anxiousness is how I wrote it. So I get seriously antsy and fidgety if I'm not doing something really engaging. I can get to the point where I kind of get agitated and easily annoyed. So I still would definitely say that that's true. Whereas, you know, if I, it's almost like I will sit there and think, man, I really need to just be doing something. And let's go for a walk. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And I can't just sit down and relax sometimes when I'm having a bad day, so to speak. And when I say a bad day, I mean a hyperactive day, or like I always feel like I need to be doing something. And even some people will say, will call it monkey mind, or in other words, like your brain is running like it's run by a motor. And even if you wanted to turn it off, you wouldn't be able to turn it off. People kind of say that sometimes. So that's number one, fidgety and anxiousness. Number two, chronic severe boredom. Now, this is something that I really, this is the main way that I experience ADHD, is chronic severe boredom. And the one thing that I say is, ain't nobody experienced boredom like somebody with ADHD before. If something is not actively engaging my interest, I almost completely lack the ability to pay attention or engage in the activity at all. And you can imagine going to university, doing those sort of liberal education classes. You know, here they call them like the GLER. I think it's General Liberal Education Requirement or something. But basically it was that even though I was a neuroscience student, I was required to take things like history and I can't even remember, honestly, which is a pretty good indicator of why. Anthropology. And I feel like now that I'm properly medicated, I probably could go back and because as I'm saying these things, I'm thinking that actually sounds really interesting. Why wouldn't I be excited about that? But that's because I'm now properly medicated. And I'll get to that in a minute about sort of my story of how I became, properly diagnosed, because I didn't actually receive a diagnosis until I was 23 years old. And I went my entire, high school sort of career all the way up through the third year of my university career before I ever had a diagnosis. But again, man, let me just tell you how boring something can be. Have you ever been so bored that you literally felt like this physical urge that I need to leave this situation right now? And the reason that I feel that I get like that, and I know that this is why, looking into the research, is basically what happens is the reward center in your brain, for somebody who is, that's run by dopamine, is one of the main neurotransmitters. It's part of the reward circuit. So in other words, that part of your brain, this circuit is responsible for, it's called the mesolimbic, we'll just call it the mesolimbic dopamine system. I'm pretty sure that's a close enough name that people who are interested will be able to find it. But basically that system in your brain is responsible for triggering when something is rewarding to you in some way. And you can think of it as a sort of, this is worth paying attention to, right? That's the part of your brain that triggers and activates all the other parts of your brain saying, all right, let's keep focusing on this. This is good. This is a great thing. What happens in people with ADHD, this is one theory, is that the circulating dopamine within that system, is lower than it should be, which seems weird, right? For somebody who is, hyperactive, you would think, oh, well, that's weird. Why would that be higher? Why would it be lower? You would expect it to be higher. The reason that it's lower, why that makes sense is because essentially what's going on is that lower dopamine level, you are constantly in a state of, this isn't interesting enough for me. This is not, stimulating enough, et cetera, et cetera, which is why you end up seeing children, your sort of stereotypical kid in a classroom who suddenly becomes hyperactive. Basically what that behavior is functioning as is a way for that child or adult, frankly. You don't see this kind of behavior so much in children. You see different versions of it. But that child is trying to solicit some sort of a response from its environment. And this environment, in other words, this classroom is boring and I'm going to do something to elicit a response from the environment. In other words, I'm going to do this so that the teacher starts being more interesting. Maybe I can tick this teacher off, for example. At least that would be more interesting than what they're doing right now, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be something that is beneficial, but it's going to be something that I can at least be stimulated by. So that's kind of, the next thing on there, chronic and severe boredom. I cannot stress that enough, that especially for kids with ADHD, if you're having trouble with them, you know, as far as just getting them to pay attention, engage with them, right? Really get involved and make this exciting and interesting. And you would be surprised at the level of engagement, at the level of, you know, of the level of just sheer interest that you would get from a child if you are excited enough about a particular topic. So that's the next one. The third one, again, I kind of talked about this before, difficulty directing or sustaining attention. And I'll just read again from here. It says, this is probably the most frustrating of all. And it ties closely into number two. During times of severe ADHD, I have serious difficulty staying on task. I have the biggest struggle when I am doing desk work, such as writing or researching for my thesis. This was back when I was doing my thesis in neuroscience. I said, I can't even tell you how many times I've sat down to write a paper or write an essay and ended up at the end of the night having gained 3 levels on my Night Elf Hunter, drawn a picture, and read the entirety of my RSS news feeds. And that essay, yeah, well, I guess that's what the night before the due date is for. Again, this sort of idea, by the way, you see this all the time where people have a really hard time, you know, procrastination and ADHD go hand in hand. And the idea that the reason you can get it done the night before, but you couldn't get it done at all is because you, again, it goes back to the idea of stimulation and adrenaline in particular. So the reason why it suddenly becomes possible to focus on it is because it is literally a survival situation, right? Where you literally have no other choice. And that, there you go, is that stimulation that is required in order to successfully be able to stay on task. Does that make sense? So a lot of what ADHD, and I had this great coach for the second half of my master's thesis that worked with me, an ADHD coach, and she taught me all sorts of ways to kind of give myself that that reward by structuring like to-do lists and calendars and kind of pointing out to myself along the way, these are the things I need to get done today. And even just the idea of making a list and being able to put a check mark by everything that I did as I made that list was enough of a stimulation for me to be able to just get through it, right? Like, okay, well, once this thing's on there, then I'm going to check it off and then I'm going to feel better about life because I checked something off of my list. That's something that's really been helpful for me. So basically, yeah, let's see here. I hope this is interesting and helpful for you guys, because this is definitely something that I am passionate about. And let me just talk about this for a second. I'll talk about my sort of story. Basically, growing up in school, I was, very early on, I feel like I was probably, and I don't say any of this to be sort of, you know, oh, look how awesome I am, but just because, you know, just for story's sake more than anything. But I was one of the kids who was, I remember very early on being kind of bored in school. I was a fairly smart kid, and eventually they put me in a class with a few other kids who we actually put on a puppet show for the rest of the class. I think because we were picking up things faster than everybody else. And so I was a fairly smart kid growing up. And I think that's probably part of the reason why I went undiagnosed for so long, because I was really smart. And so I wasn't struggling in school. Therefore, why try and solve a problem when there were other kids who really couldn't even pick up the, you know, the stuff in grade 3 or whatever. So I remember being pretty smart early on, but I also remember getting in trouble starting in about grade 4 for drawing in the middle of class when I should have been doing other things. So I would doodle all the time, you know, I'd just draw pictures and whatever. And I actually got in trouble for drawing pictures, which, okay, right? Like I would draw in class. And in retrospect now, having, you know, been diagnosed at the age of 23, back in fourth grade, I was this kid who was very clearly bored. And there's a lot of research that actually goes into showing that things like doodling and keeping your hands busy, can actually be really beneficial in helping a child with ADHD focus, right? To be able to get that extra little bit of fidgetiness and whatever out of your system and then be able to just boom, be done, right? To be able to sit there and focus because your hands are moving or something. In fact, most of the time when I'm podcasting, I have like a little Lego man or something that's in my hand just so that I can, you know, where I'm like taking the gun out of his hand and I'm putting it in the other hand and I'm, you know, moving stuff around and moving his legs back. I'm literally doing that right now as I'm speaking. Again, because that is something that helps me focus and helps me speak well. And otherwise, see, now that I've stopped, I'm kind of stumbling over my words, which is really interesting to think about. That's how things are working in my brain. But so basically, that's how I was in grade like 4 or so. And as time went on, I continued to be a pretty smart kid. However, at the same time, I was also like not a homework kid at all. I was the kind of kid who would pay attention in class and sort of absorb things during class. I wouldn't do my homework, show up for the test, and I would ace it, right? Or at least do sufficient enough to get pretty decent marks. I wasn't doing great, and I mean, constantly the feedback that I would get from my teachers was, you know, you're just such a smart kid. If you just apply yourself and, you know, you have so much potential. If you just apply yourself, then you'd get there. And you'd be the one of the best in the class. And I always thought, okay, whatever. Like, I'm doing fine, I guess, you know, and sure. The problem is that you do internalize it though. That's what happens when you are messing around with things that shoot little Lego lasers. What happens is that you actually do internalize it, right? Like, let's be honest here. As much as I thought I was doing okay, I kind of internalized this idea that I don't know how to study. I don't know how to, apply myself. I'm just getting by on my raw talent, and eventually things are going to get ugly, and I'm going to have a hard time. And that's kind of honestly what happened. So I ended up going, when I eventually did end up in university, I ended up like having this really difficult sort of first few years, until I found something I was interested in, which was psychology, which, you know, I got my bachelor's degree in psychology. And in my third year, it took me 5 years to get my bachelor's instead of 4, but whatever. At the end of my third year, I was taking this class called developmental psychopathology. And I was assigned to give a presentation on ADHD with a couple of other people. And I, you know, pull up all the DSM criteria, the DSM being the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, sure. Basically, it's what psychiatrists and psychologists and whatever use to be able to classify specific mental illnesses. I was going through the criteria for ADHD, and I was like, holy crap, wait a minute. Like, going through each one of these things, I was like, this is incredible. This is me. And so I got myself to the on-campus doctor and was referred to a psychiatrist and got on some sweet medication. And I literally brought myself from a 2-point. Oh, my phone's ringing. Hang on, dudes. I'll be right back. And I'm back. Okay. Sorry, everybody. So anyways, I brought myself that right there, by the way, is like, you don't realize that I just spent like the last 10 minutes doing something totally different. I talked to my wife and then I looked on Facebook for a minute and whatever. So long story short, I brought myself from like a 2.8-ish GPA all the way up to a 4.0. Well, obviously I wasn't at a 4.0, but all I received grades wise since getting on medication, I had a 4.0. So the reason I bring that up is because I mean obviously part of the reason why I did so much better is because the latter half of your degree you're doing things that you're interested in anyways. That's kind of a given. However, what what's really important, and this is kind of the point I want to drive home, is that medication can really help people. And medication isn't the only thing that's helped me. You know, obviously, like I said before, I had a great ADHD coach, taught me a lot of strategies. But I feel like I have this responsibility now as somebody who now has gone on and gotten a master's in neuroscience, and I'm going back to school to get a second master's, which, why, I don't know. I'm crazy. I'm going to be, obviously the real reason is because I want to be a counseling psychologist. And I need to go back to school to do that. So what I feel this responsibility and almost this obligation, you know, I mean, as cheesy and corny as it is, I really am a believer of with great power comes great responsibility. You know, with, you know, the classic Spider-Man motto or whatever from Uncle Ben, that always has resonated with me. And I feel like I have this opportunity. I have really done a lot of great things in my life and succeeded. And I'm frankly pretty proud of myself to get as far as I have gotten so far. But I also have gotten this far because of, you know, an amazing wife, great parents, you know, when I was younger, before I was ever even diagnosed. I just had great supportive parents and family, and I have a great wife. And I've frankly just been lucky for part of it, you know? And so I feel like I have this responsibility to be open and honest about what it's like to have ADHD and you know, what has been successful for me, what are my failings, and hopefully provide some sort of a, you know, some sort of a roadmap for other people to look at me and say, you know what, maybe I'm not going to be a total loser after all. Maybe I can make something out of my life. Because I know that for a while that was my worry, is that I was going to be a nobody and that I was not going to be able to do what I, you know, I mean, statistically alone, you know, just looking strictly at the statistics, people with ADHD have a lower income. You know, generally, you know, they have a less success in their lives, and it's, you know, higher divorce rates, higher, you know, accidental death, all that kind of stuff. And so it's not an excuse to not do well. I feel like it's just a struggle. It you know, I kind of have said this before to other people, is that and even in talking with my coach, will I have to spend more time getting to where other people would get in a less amount of time? Absolutely. That is true. That happens to me, where somebody will sit down and, you know, it'd be really great if I could just sit down and read a 10-page journal article, you know, like a scientific article. If I could just sit down and read that in like half an hour or something, or an hour, or however long it takes people to, you know, all those smart people without ADHD, you know, if it would be great if I could sit down and read that in like an hour and absorb it and whatever. But that's not who I am. And it may take me 5 hours to do what somebody else can do in 1 hour. But I can't control that. I can over time get better, but what I can do is I can control how much of myself I put into it. And, you know, that I can control what my own personal best is, and my own personal, you know, putting as much as I can into it and learning, and I can control how much I'm helping other people, and that's what I can control. I can't control any of the external factors, but I can control what I do. And so that's what I want for this podcast, to be able to help other people as well, just to realize that it's okay. You know, it's okay to struggle. It's okay to suck at something. It's okay to fail, right? That's totally fine. I can't tell you how many times I've failed in doing something, only to then finally realize that failing over and over and over again and struggling, I wouldn't even necessarily say fail, I would just say struggling over and over and over again has gotten me to where I am today. And it can do the same for you. Absolutely. So that's kind of, I know this episode's kind of been all over the place, but I kind of just wanted to make sure that I was getting anything, you know, I was getting stuff figured out for myself, and making sure that this podcast was out on time for you fine people. And with that, we're going to wrap up the show. I'm going to, you know, I'm basically just going to wrap up by saying you can go over to ZachErickson.com. That's ZacErickson.com as well. You can, we're going to be on iTunes probably the next few weeks. Again, this is still beta, so we're going with it. but I'm excited to continue to talk to you guys. Follow me on Twitter. That's at Zach Erickson. That's Z-A-C-E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. And huge thanks to all of you who have been giving me some feedback on Twitter. I honestly am really happy to see that sort of information coming. So if you're enjoying the show, by all means, talk about it. Tell your friends. And please, oh, please, you know, share the love and continue being awesome. So thank you very much. Next week, I don't have a topic yet. If you have an idea for a topic next week, please let me know and I will talk about it as well. Otherwise, I'm just going to be sitting here in front of this microphone talking about who knows what. But we're gonna have fun in the process anyway. So, all right, thank you everybody for your comments and your love and your listening time. And we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.